Dylan Thomas, Wales and the Welsh, is a reading by Jim Parknest, a highly respected Welsh poet and dramatist, taken from the CD and copyright of Flack Records, accompanying Jackie Hayden's book, A Map of Love. Music is by Cara Doug Rees-Williams. All rights reserved.
Dylan Thomas, Wales and the Welsh. The voice of Dylan Thomas, his stories and the sound of his poems all resonate with the Wales he knew. Its sights, sounds, culture, mythology and religious preoccupations, its garrulous conversation, reverence for the spoken word, love of argument and political debate, as well as the foibles and eccentricities of the people he observed and whose company he loved to share. He inherited the Welsh love of oratory and the music of words. In reminiscences of childhood, he referred to Wales with its wild names like peals of bells in darkness. His Maesteg biographer John Ackerman described him as one of us, and he described himself unambiguously when he said, "One, I am a Welshman," before enumerating his other key traits. The biographer George Tremlett wrote, "He loved a wider world, but the prism through which he observed it was Wales. He was often homesick for Wales, and in his BBC radio talk Living in Wales, he spoke of being on a train journey through England while wanting to be in Wales." The name Dylan came from a character in the mythical Welsh drama The Mabinogion, and it can be translated as the sea, suggesting that his lifelong love of Welsh sea towns and villages might have been preordained. His second name, Marlais, was taken from his great uncle who was a poet. Another sign, perhaps. When he and his Irish wife Caitlin, whose name by the way can also be pronounced Kathleen, started a family, the first two children were given Welsh first names. There was Llywelyn and then Eironwy, named after the river Iron beside which he is reputed to have been conceived. The third and last child, Colm, had Garan as his second name, that being the Welsh word for heron, a bird with which the poet often seemed to identify. Wales is mentioned by name twice in his poem Prologue, and in his poem After the Funeral, he refers to the parched world of Wales. The lubber crust of Wales occurs in Once Upon a Time, so there is no sense of Dylan wanting to escape from or avoid Wales or his Welshness. Indeed, it's impossible to read much of the work of Dylan Thomas without coming upon aspects of Wales time and time again. Dylan lived through a time when the Welsh language did not enjoy the prominence and respect of more recent decades. In those harsh times of the early part of the last century, English was generally thought of as an essential tool for economic advancement, and Welsh as an optional extra. But Dylan was by no means immune from or unfamiliar with the attractions of the Welsh tongue, and commentators have argued that many of his poems were based on or inspired by Welsh language rhythms, as for instance the phrase "to begin at the beginning" that opens his play Under Milkwood. In fact, Dylan himself admitted to this influence in his poem I Dreamed My Genesis. Some of his work reflects what in Welsh language poetry we call cynghanedd, which means harmony, and refers to alliterative patterns that include the repetition of sound and rhyme. The distinguished poet and Welsh-speaking nationalist Saunders Lewis said that Dylan brought honour to Wales and in his later years became more and more Welsh in his sympathies. The English critic Geoffrey Moore said that Dylan went back to South Wales because his heart was there and because his themes of life and death and love were mostly conceived in terms of the people, the places and the institutions of South Wales. Of course, Dylan could be as wittily dismissive of his Welsh compatriots as he was of himself, but rarely with malice. That said, many of his comments and observations are not recommended for those of a sensitive nature. For Dylan, sacred cows existed to be milked, and he often did so with genuine gusto and glee. Many were disturbed to find that his fictitious village, Llaregib, when spelled backwards, becomes a vulgar phrase, once and possibly still unsuitable for genteel company. But now we can see it as an example of Dylan's playfulness with words and his love of mischief-making. Apart from forays mainly to England and the USA, the poet spent most of his life in Wales, especially in his birth city, Swansea, in Carmarthenshire among his ancestral roots and the inspirational seaside town of Larne. He loved several places on the Gower Peninsula, evacuated to Newquay, holidayed in other places in Ceredigion, and enjoyed several adventurous treks here and there. A great enthusiast for convivial conversation, Dylan was somewhat of a showman, an engaging performer of his own works and those of others on both sides of the Atlantic and on more than 200 radio broadcasts. Those broadcasts included readings of the works of such Welsh poets as Idris Davies, Alan Lewis, Vernon Watkins, W.H. Davies, George Herbert and Glyn Jones. The Welsh tradition of the storyteller, y cyfarwydd, was at work in Dylan's decision to take the role of first voice in live performances of Under Milk Good in New York. Many people of a conservative mind disapprove of Dylan because of his bawdy lifestyle and his reputation for drinking. But if he only indulged himself in those pursuits for a fraction of the alleged time, how could he have produced so much art of sublime quality that it influenced revered poets all over the world? Apart from his considerable treasury of poems, all of which were worked on with painstaking commitment to what he described as his craft or sullen art, he wrote about 40 short stories, a novel, numerous radio talks and scripts for documentary films. His unique Under Milk Good and innovative radio play for voices, which he set in a vividly imaginary Welsh seaport, was made into a feature film, a cartoon, and even set to Cerdant, a unique Welsh musical traditional form. It inspired the Beatles producer George Martin to record a star-studded musical version and a suite composed by jazz pianist Stan Tracy. The Welsh poet's name has travelled the world as the adopted name of the songwriter Bob Dylan, arguably one of the most influential figures of 20th century culture, and who once used the pseudonym Robert Milkwood Thomas. Now, where did he get that name from? The Dylan Thomas Prize is believed to offer the world's biggest cash prize for young writers. In 1982, a plaque was unveiled in Dylan's honour in Poets' Corner at Westminster Abbey, although the Prince of Wales complained that he had not been invited. So, A Map of Love Around Wales with Dylan Thomas offers a timely reminder of how intrinsically important Wales, its people, and all its teeming life were to Dylan. Through it, we trace the main locations around Wales that inspired his key writings and are referenced in his works. I hope it will open doors to the legacy of one of the giants in 20th century literature.